I'd like to welcome Augustine Kalinga to the Adventures with Grammy podcast. He hails from South Africa and is a children's author. Welcome, Augustine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell our listeners a bit about yourself.
I am a Zambian by birth, grew up in Zambia in 1975. I studied accounting when I finished my high school, and I've got an accounting degree. I moved to South Africa just after I had finished my degree, and I got my first job here in South Africa. I worked for about 10 years, and then I opened up my own accounting practice, doing accounting and tax for small to medium companies.
How old are your children?
Okay, my firstborn is 20. She's doing a degree in fashion design management. And then there's a bigger gap between her and the second one, who is 13, and the last born boy is 11.
What are their thoughts about their dad being a writer?
Yeah, they're super excited. And they also love reading, which I think runs in my blood, because in my bio on all my books, I've also mentioned that my late dad was a journalist, and he was an editor. He was the first black editor, after colonization of Zambia, of the newspaper called the Zambia Daily Mail. And my late brother was a poet. So yeah, I think we all have the writing bug. So my kids also follow suit. Apart from the fashion lady, she doesn't, but she does read. But the other two do write, and they've got a very vivid imagination. So hopefully they might follow in my footsteps. When I was growing up in Zambia, I always had a passion for reading and for writing children's books when I was about 10 or 11. I decided to go back into the writing last year. I'm still running my accounting firm on the side, but my goal is to eventually go into the writing full-time by the end of the year.
And it's all children's books?
Yes, for now it's all children's books. I've got a memoir that I'm writing. I'm still busy with it. It's about my time growing up in Zambia and my neighborhood basketball team and all the friendships that we made in the time we grew up. So that hasn't been published yet. It hasn't even been edited yet. But yeah, that's something that I want to get published before the end of the year as well.
When we chatted, you told me that you had written 9 books or published 9 books. And 4 of them you wanted to talk about today because these were the ones that are dear to your heart. And when I read them, I got a real sense of why that might be. Can you give me like an overall picture of why these 4 are particularly memorable to you or meaningful to you?
Yeah. Okay. So the 4 that I wanted to talk about, the first one called Joe Finds His Way Home. This was basically a story about me. I just changed the name. So there was a mix-up of who was supposed to pick me up from school. Between my sister, my elder sister, and my mom. So I waited and waited and no one came. And I decided just to make my way home, which was quite a distance from where the school was. Zambia is a very peaceful country and there's not a lot of crime. So I just decided to make my way home, and it was just the adventures that I experienced with trying to get home from the time I was left at school.
Joe seems to be carrying quite a heavy backpack and gets very tired from his journey up and down the steps to his sister's house. And then he meets a kind man who is selling produce. Is that something that actually happened?
Yes, it did happen.
In the book, you are able to scrape together some money to exchange for something to eat. Tell me about that in real life.
Yeah, so that was my pocket money that I used to get every day from my mom. And I didn't
I think it was, as luck would have it, that day I didn't use all of it, because I used to use all of it at the tuck shop, you know, for sweets and snacks. But on that day, I didn't use up all of it. So lucky enough, I had something in my pocket for me to buy myself a banana.
And then you walk on and you meet somebody. Is that, again, does that mirror your real life experience?
Yep, 100%. I met the parish priest because we are Catholics. I grew up Catholic. The priest recognized me and he said, "What are you doing all the way here?" Because it was quite a distance from the school. I was almost halfway between the school and home. And I explained to him what had happened. And he said, no, I have to jump in my van. I'm going to take you, I'll take you back to the church. And then we'll get in touch with your mom and she'll come and pick you up.
Your sister forgot that she was supposed to pick you up from school.
Yeah.
How much older is your sister than you are?
She is 11 years older than me.
The mom in the book seems to be quite unaffected. It's like, oh, it's just in a day's time this thing happened. So what was it like in real life? As a mother, I would be horrified and just so scared that my child just had to walk home quite a distance from school and that my daughter had not picked him up. Was your mom that calm or was she upset?
She was actually upset, I just didn't want to bring it out in the book. She was upset and she was, you know, she was really terrified that had actually happened to me. But she was thankful that the parish priest was there and met up with me to bring me back to the church.
What is your sister's reaction to this book?
The weird thing is she can't really remember. I don't know whether that's intentional or, but yeah, she says she can't remember that it happened.
Now, sisters have a way of blocking out memories. Has she done any publicity tours with you for this book?
Not yet, because obviously we are not in different countries. She's back home in Zambia and I'm here in South Africa. So,
okay.
We haven't seen her since the pandemic. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the donkeys. I found this one quite, one, amusing, but so spot on about what people tell you and how you believe them. And what that does to your life. So tell our listeners what we're alluding to here.
This was one of the books that I wrote when I was very young. I wrote this book when I was, I can't remember the exact age, but I should have been about 10, between 10 and 12. And I put it forward for one of the writing competitions at school. And I actually won an award for it. It is a book, obviously, about stereotypes and that, you know, when someone labels you as something, you just take it that that's just the way it is. But Donk was not like, he wanted to know the reason why all the donkeys, I mean, the farmer was calling all stubborn. And it also comes down to me as a kid being very inquisitive. And that's what made me write this the story, because I was always asking questions. And everything would always be brushed aside by, you know, by mom or by elder sister, because I'm the last born in the family. And that's why, you know, I could relate to Donk and being a loner, because like I said, my sister is much older than me and so are my other siblings. There's a big age gap. So I was, you know, I ended up always playing alone and always trying to find out a lot of things when my older brothers and sisters knew more about life, and they didn't want, you know, they'll just brush it aside and say, no, that's just the way it is. So that's why I wrote Donk as a kid and decided to get it published last year.
And do you mind telling the listeners what the big message is with Donk?
Yeah, so basically the big message is that it's not just the way, you shouldn't be labeled as something. So in this book, it's about the farmer calling and labeling all the donkeys as stubborn. The parents and siblings just accepting it, that, listen, that's just the way it is. But Donk meets a fairy donkey who then explains to him that it's not just the way it is. Not all donkeys are stubborn. It's the farmer who just makes you want to think that you are stubborn. And by telling that, all the donkeys end up believing that that's the way it is, when that is not the case. It's not every single donkey who is stubborn. And that's the same thing as in life. You know, we all label, I can give an example of maybe a Nigerian person, that every single Nigerian is either a drug dealer or a con man. But I mean, I've come across a lot of Nigerians in my business of accounting, and they are, straightforward businessmen. It's not that all businessmen, all Nigerians are crooked.
My thoughts immediately went to children who have difficulty reading, and they get the message that because they can't read like their classmates or their family members, they feel stupid. And so that message of you're stupid, you're less than, you're not worthy is constantly reinforced, even if it's in their mind, even if no one is actually telling them the words. Only to find out later that that's not true, and they have lots of gifts and they can make life the way they want it. So I was particularly impressed with this book. So it's amazing that you were so young and so perceptive. I'm really glad you shared that with us. Now, the next book I read was about the dogs, and I'm going to have to ask you to pronounce their names because I was a little baffled by the spelling and how they might be pronounced.
The dogs' names are Imbwa and Galu. So this book, I went back to my roots because those terms are both, they both mean dog in local Zambian languages. So Galu is in what they call Nyanja, and Imbwa is in what they call Bemba. Those are Zambian languages.
We have a story here of one dog who has been disciplined, using discipline as the word guide, and taught. And you have another dog who doesn't learn because the master is harsh and cruel and doesn't take the time to teach.
You can take it in both ways, in humans as well as in dogs. Because number one, I am a dog lover. Since I was a kid, we always had dogs. And here with my family, we've got four dogs. And I do not abuse the dogs. You know, no matter what they do wrong, you just have, they're such lovable creatures. They do make mistakes, but you discipline them by not having to, to beat them with a cane or with anything. You can discipline them the way you discipline a child. And it's the same thing with humans. I do not believe in corporal punishment. I believe that those who are disciplined via corporal punishment, be it the dog or the human being, they do not learn from that because they end up being so used to being caned that they just take it that, I'll do wrong and I'll just get another beating and I'll do the same thing next week. Whereas with the teaching, you are taught in a very disciplined way that it's wrong, and you learn from that. And it's based on a Bemba proverb, which is a Zambian language. That's where I decided to go back to my roots based on that.
Will you tell us what this proverb is and why it's so meaningful?
And I'll read it out to you. So it's Imbwa Yamukali Taichenjela. So in English, it means a dog belonging to a harsh master does not become wise.
This book made me sad when I was reading about Imbwa and how harsh his master is. There was this element of delight when the dogs meet at the dog park, and there is goodness in Imbwa's soul because he is delighted and becomes animated and playful when he meets Galu. And so much of that is true for children. And I think you see children growing up in harsh environments, and those are the children you see growing up to have issues with the law. I'm glad Imbla had a happy ending, and he had a friend who believed in him. And I think that's also an important message too, is that no matter how harsh and difficult your home life is, if there is someone who believes in you, that spark comes alive in your heart. And so in the end, he had a friend and a master who believed in him and who nurtured him, and life became joyful again. The last book you sent me was about an unusual friendship between a whale and a little boy. And it also carries on that theme of good versus evil. Can you elaborate on that book?
So Will and His Best Friend Whale is another book that I wrote when I was very young. I also won an award for that one when I was a kid. So that's why Donk and the Stubborn Donkeys and Will and His Best Friend Whale are two books which are very close to my heart. I mean, this book was written 34 years ago, like I said, 34 years ago. And at that time, I think the pollution in the oceans wasn't as widespread and as well known as it is now, but it was. I think it had just begun, because that was in the 80s. And there were two concepts to this book. It was about a boy who was bullied for being friends with a whale and not having any other friends. He was a very nice boy, very likable, but he ended up just having his best friend as a whale, because the whale didn't judge him, and the whale was always there for him. Unfortunately, because of the plastic pollution that we have nowadays, whale ends up dying. It's a sad reality, but that is unfortunately the way it is at the moment. But the good thing is that it ended up with a happy ending, that the boys who were bullying him and calling him names ended up respecting him. They all started making the point that dumping plastic in oceans kills whales and other marine life.
That's a wonderful lesson. I wish our world would heed that warning, because as you said earlier, the plastic and the garbage in our waters is just growing exponentially. The four books have a real lesson for children, and it's a deep lesson. It's certainly one on the surface that you can see, but there's also this deeper message, as we were just discussing about the pollution. Tell me generally about your other books. Do they have that same kind of good versus evil, life events, life lessons learned?
I've actually got 10 books published at the moment. Nine are on Amazon, and the 10th is on a platform called Bookseeds. So this is an independent platform that I was trying out with a gentleman I met through Facebook. So that one is not on Amazon, but the rest of them, the six, of, I think only one doesn't really have a lesson, because one is for the younger readers, and it's just about a journey through the solar system and about the planets, and it's a rhyming book. But the other five all have a life lesson. If I can just quickly go through them and tell you what it is. It's Harry the Honest Horse. Is about honesty and the pitfalls of being dishonest. Polly the Polecat is about being careful what you wish for, because sometimes, you know, as kids, you wish you were taller, or you wish you were that. It's better to just be happy with what you are. So that's what Polly is about. Then we have Elaine the Elephant. Is about just never giving up, and it's about perseverance, because Elaine is such a small elephant that she struggles to do what all the other elephants do, but It's about perseverance, and it's also about the support of her family. She had a good family, and yeah, that one is basically a feel good one. There's no evil in that. So that's one of my feel good books. Then we have The Leopard Licks Its Spots. That is about justice. That this one is from a Zulu proverb, which is a South African language. So it's about justice, and that justice should be equally served, no matter who you are. So, for example, if a president of a country has wronged the people, he deserves to be, you know, to go to court. And if he's found guilty, justice should be served. Not, he shouldn't take things for granted just because he is a former president or he is a president. Yeah, so, but that one is put in a childlike, and it's about some leopard friends who have a strong figure of authority in their grandfather. Yeah, and that's about the leopards. And then the last one is Chuck the Cheetah, which is about a cheetah it's about arrogance and the pitfalls of arrogance, and also about winning and losing graciously, to be gracious in defeat. Yeah, so that also teaches the kids a good lesson there.
Your books are delightful, and the illustrations are cute in the books that I saw. They were quite eye-catching. Tell us where we can find you on the internet, and where can we find your books?
I'm on all the social media platforms. So basically, I've got my website, which is www.kamalenga.com. And you can buy my books. My books from directly from my website. And then I'm also on Facebook as my author page is K.A. Mulenga Writer. And then I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Mulenga_A. And I'm on LinkedIn as well as on Goodreads and on Pinterest and BookBub. But all these links can be found on my website, because some of the handles are, you know, they're quite long and I haven't mastered all of them, but they are all on my contact us page of my website. And like I said, all nine of the books are available on Amazon as ebooks and paperbacks as well. Not all of them are available in paperbacks on Amazon yet, but I'm still in the process of that. So I think three of them are available in paperback on Amazon. And then, like I said, the last one, which is Elaine the Elephant, is available on Bookseeds. If you just Google Bookseeds, you'll find it. You'll find Elaine the Elephant there. And that is an ebook as well.
You mentioned that two of the books won awards when you were a child. Have any of the books won awards as an adult writer?
Not as yet. I'm self-published, so I'm still trying to get my name out. There is a lot of interest here in South Africa, but I'm trying to, you know, grow my name like internationally. Hopefully before the end of the year, a lot of people will know K.A. Mulenga, and also with your help as well.
I actually have a couple of listeners from South Africa, so that would be beneficial for both of us. Are there any words of wisdom you want to share with our listeners?
What I like to tell my kids, I've got three kids, and what I like to tell them is especially since I have followed my dream and followed my passion of becoming a children's author, there's nothing better than doing what you love and not doing what you are, should I say, forced into. My mom might not be very happy with what I'm about to say, but the fact of the matter is I didn't want to do accounting. I was told to do it. And my dream was always to be a journalist or a writer. And I'm living my dream right now. So my word of wisdom will be not to hold your children back. If if it's grandchildren, I would advise you to tell the parents not to hold the children back, because when you're living your dream, you love what you do it with a passion, and oh, it's just the best feeling ever. Yeah, that would be my advice and my words of wisdom.